Straight Shooter with Stephen A.
Welcome to the latest edition of Straight Shooter with yours truly, Stephen A. Smith, coming at you over the airwaves of Sirius XM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124. The call-in number, as always, is 866-967-6887. That's 866-96-POTUS. You heard an audience clapping in the background. Now, that's foreign territory for me. In doing this show since September 17th, I've never done the show in front of a live studio audience, but I have a studio audience in front of me. I'm honored to have everybody here. Thank y'all so much for being a part of today's show. In approximately 20 minutes or so, the senator from the great state of Texas, the one and only Senator Ted Cruz, will be in attendance right here in studio with yours truly. We got obviously a lot to talk about. There's a shutdown that came to an end after 43 days of absolute senselessness on the part of both parties, as far as I'm concerned, because the American people suffered, not them, which is a problem that we can get into at a later date, how federal workers weren't being paid, but elected officials were being paid, how folks was having a health care compromise, but these folks still receiving health care. Don't get me started with this stuff, okay? So we're glad that that's over as Thanksgiving approaches, as Christmas approaches, and we don't have to worry about that. A continual resolution will ultimately be revisited come January 31st, and we'll go on from there. There's also the issue of the Epstein files, and that's where I'm going to start today, because it's necessary. Okay, and I'll be taking questions from the studio audience. I'll be taking calls before the show is over. There's a lot of stuff to get into, but due to the fact that I'm not some political aficionado that's been spending my life covering politics, I come from a layman's perspective. I kind of bring it home and exercise common sense as I tackle a lot of these issues as a conscientious observer, as a voter, etc. There's certain things that make sense, and then there are certain things that simply do not. So President Donald Trump had religiously stated, it's much ado about nothing. You understand, had given indications he didn't want the Epstein files open. This is after he had campaigned on opening the files. This is after he had campaigned opening the files. And after he had campaigned on opening the JFK assassination files and everything else. Suddenly, it's much ado about nothing, and he didn't want to touch it. A lot of people found that very, very suspicious. It made it a very, very uncomfortable position for the president to be in. You know it's bad when MAGA turned against you, when MAGA is on the same side as the progressive left and they're aligning with one another to come after you to open those files. You know that's big. You know that's a big deal, okay? We've heard Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of the things that she called Donald Trump out about. We've seen Senator Massey out of Kentucky and some of the things he called Donald Trump out about. We've seen so many other people on the left calling Donald Trump out. And I sat back and I said to myself, something's fishy. Something ain't right. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about the rest of them. Because eventually he just stopped talking about it. There was always another issue that came up. If he wasn't attacking reporters from ABC or The View, he was attacking somebody from CBS. He was attacking somebody from Late Night. He was attacking headline after headline after headline. Anything to distract us from the Epstein files, which was growing in terms of his suspicion and its intrigue. And then he did something that I didn't see coming. He said, to hell with it, open the files. I'll sign to open the files. No problem. And the first words that came to my mind was, uh-oh. Because Donald Trump is not going to do that if it's going to be something that significantly hurts Donald Trump. He's going to do it if, dare I say, he's got something on other people. Because that is who we know him to be, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. There's no way around this. And sure enough, one of the first names that came out was Larry Summers, who worked as the Treasury Secretary under the Clinton administration, who worked on economic policies for Barack Obama, who was religiously associated with the left, who was still teaching at Harvard, and then ultimately had to step back and step away from public settings and things of that nature, scale back his role within the last 24 hours because he was one of the names that appeared in the Epstein files. He was somebody that knew Epstein. He was somebody that kept in constant contact with Epstein. He was somebody that Epstein had influenced and coaxed Epstein into donating millions upon millions of dollars to Harvard University. I mean, in excess of $9 million. Okay? This is the kind of stuff that was happening. And you found yourself saying, oh, damn. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, that's exactly what you should be thinking. It should be, oh, damn. Because that's just the first shoe to drop. Why is Larry Summers bothered? Why does he have to step away? Why has his reputation been impugned to some degree? It's very, very simple when you think about it. The reason that it happened was because there were emails. And those emails revealed that this man that had been married for decades was asking Jeffrey Epstein for dating advice. And we don't know all the details about it, but this man that had been married for decades needs dating advice. Obviously, it wasn't to date his wife. And not only was he communicating with Jeffrey Epstein prior to Jeffrey Epstein being arrested and indicted back in 2007, 2008, whenever it was, this was a year before Epstein had committed suicide, reportedly, in like 2018. And he's in there asking for advice on how to pick up this woman. After the man had been associated with sexual assault and sexual offenses of minors, you were still communicating with him. Is that somebody that you asked for dating advice from? He did. And then as you look and you scour the internet and you see old footages, we've seen old footages of Michelle Obama. We've seen old footages of Barack Obama. We've seen old footages of Bill Clinton. Ladies and gentlemen, do you really, really think that Donald Trump is going to sign off on releasing the Epstein files and not have a boatload of stuff that he's going to throw in the Democrats' direction? At some point in time, we got to fall back to what one of my boys, Jeff Brown, in L.A. said. He said, Trump has become a verb. The name Trump has become a verb. He's trumping the Democrats at every turn, playing them like a fiddle. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not, but I know that there are people that believe that. And the reason why you got to have attach substance to it because what else would make sense? You got a 2026 midterm election coming up. You think Donald Trump's going to do something to harm himself and damage or compromise his legacy with what he's trying to get done, whatever that may be? You think he's going to do that? He's not going to do that. If he does it, it's going to be, hey, it's because of them. He got questioned by the media just 24 hours ago while he had the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia in attendance with him. Supposedly them getting a pledge of $1 trillion dedicated to U.S. businesses. The pledges, I don't vibe with that, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. I don't give a damn about a pledge. Where's the dollars? You can promise me anything. When you deliver the money, let me know. I'm not getting caught up in the pledges, but that's beside the point right now. With the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia in attendance, with the reporters getting on his nerves because they're asking what Donald Trump would say are rude and nasty questions. I've never seen questions so rude. Never seen questions so nasty. That's how he rolls. Getting annoyed at it, he said, but I'll answer the question. And then proceeded to bring up Clinton, proceeded to bring up Larry Summers, and proceeded to hint at other Democrats. Meanwhile, Pam Bondi for the DOJ and others are telling you that once he signs legislation basically releasing the Epstein files, that they're going to get it to the public in 30 days. What the hell you need 30 days for? You've had the files for months. We know what that's about. You're going to redact stuff that could be potentially incriminating to Republicans, to yourself, or various others to help your cause. When you're in power, this is the kind of leverage, this is the kind of cachet that you're able to exercise. Plain and simple. We all know that. But what that does mean is the Democrats, once again, one could easily argue, are at his mercy. because he allowed them to go out and bloviate, sticking out their chest, open the Epstein file, open the Epstein file, open the Epstein file. And that's what this has come down to. Now, I know I made news and everybody was saying I didn't know what I was talking about when I was saying, why didn't the Democrats open the Epstein file? I understood. And I didn't mean to imply that Joe Biden could just snap his fingers and open it. You got to get jurisdiction from the courts to do that. I got that part. I totally get it. What I was saying was whatever maneuvers you needed to exhaust to get the files open, just like this president and this administration could pull off stuff like that, so could have y'all over the previous 4 years when a different administration was in office. That's all I was saying. Whatever legal maneuvering you had to exercise in order to pull off getting those files open, don't tell me that you could not have done it. I'm just speaking about that as a layman. Where there's a will, there's a way. And you can't tell me that if you wanted those Epstein files opened over the previous 4 years, that you couldn't have found a way to get those files open. I'm not saying that there weren't laws put in place that prohibited you from doing so. I'm trying to say there's a workaround. Why? Because this is America. There's always a damn workaround. That's all I meant. Everybody want to get into the minutia. Oh, he said this. He said that. You're wrong. You're missing. Oh, stop it. Stop being children. You know exactly what I'm saying. When there's a will, where there's a will, there's a way. And if you can find it, you will. As a president, as a legislator. Period. So somewhere along the way, it appears, particularly as we learn more and more and more, that there was an incentive for various elected officials not to prioritize getting these files opened. Am I making it up now? Is it not making sense? This is what we have to pay attention to. And so as a result, now the most important, pertinent question needs to be asked. What kind of effect, if any at all, do you think this is going to have with the 2026 midterms coming up? With Trump and his cachet and what he's plotting to do, whatever that may be, and whatever level of influence he's willing to wield. See, for me, the way that I look at it is very, very simple. I like checks and balances. As this studio audience is sitting right here looking at me, understand who I am. I am a person. I am an American citizen. I am a voter. I am a conscientious observer who does not want one party in complete power. If the Republicans got the White House, I want the Democrats to have the House or the Senate. If a Democrat has the White House, I want the Republicans to have the House or the Senate. I want both sides to be compelled to have to communicate with one another in an effort to get things done. Why is it so important to me that bipartisanship enters the fray and somehow, some way, we as American citizens are witnessing our elected officials go across the aisle, being forced and compelled to work with one another in order to get things done? Why is that? I would say to you, it's the best way to avoid chaos. Now, stay with me where I'm at as I'm sitting here talking to a national audience over the airwaves of SiriusXM, POTUS Radio, Channel 124, as I'm talking to a live studio audience right here in front of me. Understand where I'm coming from. I want y'all to think about this as I'm sitting and looking y'all eye to eye right in your faces right now. I want you to think about something very, very important. Think about the angst that you feel. Think about the discomfort that just sifts through your veins when we think about our politics. And then ask yourself before pausing for 1 second, what role did the friction between both sides play in it? If you're a liberal or you're a conservative and both sides are telling you if we don't get our way, all hell and fury is going to kick in. It's going to be nothing but chaos. Armageddon is going to arrive. The world as we know it, America, is going to fall apart and crumble before our very eyes if we don't get our way. And one side is telling you that. How's the side that lost going to feel? You're going to be in panic mode because the politicians that are legislating our lives involving healthcare, involving immigration, involving the economy, involving safety in the streets, involving affordability, involving education, etc. They're telling you if you don't get your way, it's all coming to an end. How could we possibly be comfortable? We can't be comfortable. We're worried as hell because you've convinced us that it's win or else, because you're not working with one another. But when you're working with one another on both sides of the aisle to reach some kind of accord, you get some, they get some. You don't get some things, they don't get some things. You might lament certain things along the way, but in the end, you're saying we're going to be okay because they're working together. And then on top of it all, representatives got 2 years, and then they can be in again or they could be out. Senators got 6 years, then they could be in again or they could be out. The president's got 4 years, and then he or she could be in or he could be out. And there's something along the way that tells us no matter what we're looking at, it's going to be all right. What has happened is they haven't done that. They've played us like pawns. And because that has happened, it's created the level of vitriol and cynicism and, dare I say, hatred from one side or the other that has sifted into the streets of America, that has made our lives uncomfortable. And that's why I'm here, to talk to as many people as I can about these issues. And who better to talk to in terms of one of those people than the three-term senator from the great state of Texas. His name is Ted Cruz. I am looking forward to this conversation. He's coming up next, right here on Straight Shooter with Stephen A. Don't go away. We'll be right back.